You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast.
It's time for us yet again to say hello to Steve Reed on the Entrepreneur Zone. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hello, Richard. Hello, listeners. Good to be back.
And with you, you have a remarkable young man who you're going to be chatting to. And he is the overall winner of the 2025 Youth Start CT competition. And his name is Rashad Sambaba. And you'll be chatting to him. Welcome, Rashad, to Zone Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much.
Right. You know, Richard, I was away for a short while.
You were?
And I was in Mauritius, yep, with my beloved. And yet it was almost like being at home because, Rashad will appreciate this, you meet up with people on a catamaran and they look at you and they say, Lekker my brew. And I want to welcome you and say, Lekker my brew to Rashad. And the reason is you grew up not too far from Fishhook in Lavender Hill. But please introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit more about who this young man is.
Okay. So my name is Rashad Sambaba. I'm a 34-year-old youth entrepreneur. I was raised by a single mom in Lavender Hill, which obviously meant that I grew up in poverty. But I'm extremely passionate about entrepreneurship, education, and youth development. And I'm on this journey so that I can make an impact in those areas.
And we're going to unpack that a little bit more. Okay. And he's come across from the other side of the world, you know, from Paro.
Yes, I live in Paro
so
now.
It's quite a journey to come across. Rashad, I met you last year when I came across to the Center for Entrepreneurship,
yes,
where there were some folk who were going through pitching training and they were going to the Alan Gray competition. We'll get to that in a moment. But tell us a bit about your business. What's your business all about?
Okay. So I'm the founder of Everything Stationery. It is a stationery business, as it says in the name. And the business was really birthed due to back-to-school stationery. And it's something that's very dear and near to my heart, something that I'm very passionate about. And it's one of the reasons why I started the business was because I had first-hand experience in what it was like to go to school without stationery, how it's has a negative impact on how you are able to succeed and learn.
What you feel about yourself, etc. Right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And also how your peers will then be able to advance and while you stay behind because you don't have the resources to do certain projects or to do your work as the other peers would do that has the necessary resources.
So every year, a lot of families face that challenge.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, my child is starting school or carrying on, but they can't necessarily afford at that time the layout for the stationery.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so that brings us to what makes Everything Stationery a little bit more unique than the big guys.
Yeah.
Okay, and for now. So
yes.
Tell us a bit, what makes your business different? Yeah. How do you meet that need of the parent who can't afford right now? What do you do?
Yeah. So I think what makes us really popular is our financial model, which is a Stokvel model.
Uh-huh.
So that allows parents to join us from the end of February until the end of November. And they'll pay a monthly fee of 100 rand per month, which then gives them a savings pocket in December of 1,000 rand that then allows them to purchase their child's stationery.
That's for the next year.
That's for
so
the following
in a
year.
Way, you're also encouraging a mindset of saving.
Yes, absolutely.
Not just saving and spending right now, but there's a discipline there.
All absolutely.
Right. So where did you start? Did you start with one school? And you started with a few clients. Tell us a bit how that happened.
So basically, I'm still actively working on getting into schools, directly into schools. So far, we've been in talks with three schools, and we've done stationery lists for them. But if I can talk about how I started. So I adopted my son when he was 11 months old. So when he had to go to school for the first time, that is when I was confronted with the stressful reality of back to school,
okay,
and also how expensive it is. It's almost impossible to find everything at one store. So that's when my entrepreneurial spirit really kicked in and said, hey, but here's an opportunity here. And it also reminded me of when I was a kid and I didn't have stationery on school. So I basically started with nothing. I created a Facebook page. I created a flyer and I just put it out there. People started ordering. So I started off by just servicing the general public. People started ordering. I think in my first year back to school season, I only sold like 30 boxes.
Of the kit, the full...
The full kit, yeah. And if I look at last year, we sold over 300 stationery boxes in total. So the growth is good for me. But yes, that's basically how I started everything stationery.
So, again, I'm a parent, and I come... And oh my goodness, at our school, I know that next year I'm going to fork out 1,000, 2,000 rand, whatever.
Yes.
Okay? And there's a list. All the schools normally come up with a list, and the parents have to pay for that.
Yeah.
So what you've done is you've made it easy to do that. And again, here I am. I don't know, you know, I've got this list, but I give it to you. What else do you do about that list?
Yeah. So what we do is we obviously create your stationery box based on the school's list of requirements. So we are direct sellers of all the big brands. So for example, Miko, Bantex, Sprit, we buy directly from them. So any brand basically that the school is requiring, we are able to source that brand and put it in your box. But basically what we do is we become the parent's personal shopper at the same time, if I can put it that way.
Okay.
So we take your list, we will source all of the stationery that's on your stationery list. We pack it in one box for you. We obviously send the parent a quote, and they have to approve the quote before we do that. Once the box is packed, you can then either pick it up from our home office, which is now currently based in Paro, or you can request a delivery. So if it's within Cape Town, we do the deliveries ourselves locally. And if it's anywhere outside of Cape Town or in another province, we then make use of a courier service.
Have you had some outside of Western Cape?
I did this back-to-school season that just ended, about 3 boxes only. We're still trying to get our footprint nationally. There is a trust factor at this point, but yes, we did have boxes we sent to other provinces.
Okay, and what's quite nifty is that even though you're a startup, you've got to the stage where you're no longer buying from the Macros, the Checkers, etc. You've built a reputation and credibility with suppliers, and you mentioned a few of them,
yes,
so that you can go directly, and that means you can offer the same product or the quality product that they require at an affordable price. I think you also said during your pitch, and I'm remembering back, that sometimes there is a cheaper alternative. And if price becomes too high, you're able to bring in that cheaper alternative, which still meets the bill. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. So that's one of the other things that makes us different to our competitors, is that we are able to alter your stationery list as you need and see fit. So, for example, if a specific school wants 8 original prints, and the parent can only afford 4 prints, we will then only provide 4 prints. And if the parent can't afford the original print brand price, we will then give alternative
brands. Source an alternative.
Yes. So basically also what we do is myself with my son, I test trial and error all the stationery.
Mm.
So if it's any other
brand,
there's
a bit of a quality thing.
Yes.
There.
Yeah. Okay. So I absolutely literally check that, because I want to make sure that I still, even though I give a cheap alternative, it must still be of a good quality.
Lovely. So I know when I go to Dis-Chem and I've got, you know, I'm getting a prescription, they say to me, you got this down here. Are you happy to get a generic brand?
Yes.
That's cheaper, you know, and it's the same constitution, etc. But you are doing the quality assurance. Fantastic. Now, earlier when Richard introduced you, he reminded us that you are the overall winner of the, and it's what a name, a hashtag Youth Start Cape Town competition. And there are two categories, but you are the overall winner, and you were in the business, existing business category.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the competition and how it works.
Yeah. So I think it was an amazing competition. I think just to go back to last year when I originally met you, so I've never heard of the Youth Start Pitching Competition, and you spoke about it briefly while you were doing some pitching training with us. And I think at that time, the competition had already ended for last year. And I went home and I made a note in my calendar to look out. I think you mentioned when the call for entries are going to be.
March, April.
Yes. And I made a note in my diary and I literally waited for that time. So I kept on checking the City of Cape Town's page around that time. And when the call for entries came out, I joined immediately. So it was a very simple process. I think we needed to send a motivational letter and a 1-minute pitch of our business.
A video.
It was a video, yeah. And then City of Cape Town shortlisted us, and I was very excited to get that official email to say that you've been shortlisted. So that was very exciting. But to jump into how the competition was, so it was the second time I'm in a pitching competition, and it was quite different. It was stretched over a longer time period, which was great because there was lots of training and mentoring taking place, and also being able to meet like-minded entrepreneurs and be in the same room and being able to network. So that was great and amazing. So the format was basically where we would go on a Wednesday. I think it was over a period of 4 weeks.
Yep.
We would go for pitch training with Mr. Steve Reed and his lovely team. And every week we would focus on certain things. And then on a Saturday, so over 4 Saturdays, there were pitching sessions where we pitched to a panel of adjudicators. I think it was 3 to 4 judges.
Correct.
That we had to pitch for. And they would then, on a weekly basis, give us feedback, ask more questions.
And score you.
And score us, yes. Yeah. That is quite important. And score us. So it was really a transformative and powerful journey for me. I think throughout the entire process, pitching, training, and being able to stand in front of a panel of adjudicators being judged. So that was quite powerful. There was lots of additional revenue streams that came up for me, and quite different and various ways that I can do business that I even learned from my peer entrepreneurs, the way they are doing things. So yes, their business might be different to mine, but the principle is still the same. I was still able to apply certain of the points. Yeah.
You highlight something that I really want you to elaborate on. Attending such a competition is not only about the possibility of winning a prize,
yes,
which you did, but it's also about what else you gain. So talk about, what else did you gain?
Yeah.
You've already touched on it, but maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. I think the prize and the prize money and being announced the winner, I really think that's just a bonus. It's nice. But I think for me, and I call it the pitching arena, while I like to step into it, is really because of the learning. So, for example, one of the first things we did in training was the business model canvas.
Yeah.
A lot of entrepreneurs don't know what it is. They don't understand it. And I love it. It was the second time I did it, but it felt like the first time. Because every time you do it, there's brand new ideas that comes out of it.
Things become clearer and sharper.
Yes, because you take a deep dive. You know, when you're an entrepreneur, especially in startup, you have to wear all the hats. So you don't all the time or on a daily basis have the time to zoom into each aspect of your business. And the business model canvas does that exactly. So that is one of the key things for me. I think another point was being able to, like you always say, have a growth mindset.
Mm.
So, yes, I've been in another competition before and I have won, but I didn't enter the Youth Star competition going like, I know it all. Mm. I was open to feedback. I was open to criticism. I would ask questions when feedback's given to me because I just wanted to learn, sharpen myself and my skills and be the best version of me within the competition. And one of the big things, I think, was consistency. So really, I have to point that out as well, because it was over, we were pitching over four Saturdays, and each Saturday you were scored. And my stomach would turn because everyone else went up and down. It's like every week there's a new top five. And what was the most important for me was to be consistent.
Yeah.
And I watched a lot of videos from the previous year's winner. And she kept on also giving advice to people that would enter USO competition. And she kept on saying, be consistent, be consistent. And I was holding on to that. So I tried to be consistent every week, bring my A game every single week, applied all the training that was given on a Wednesday evening. And I think what stood in my favor was that I was consistently in top five
definitely
over the 4 weeks.
Something else about you that I totally agree with you. You know when a person is arrogant, or you know when a person is willing to learn. And you were one of those who were willing to learn. But we spoke outside before we came in. We spoke about how sometimes we think that an entrepreneur is an extrovert. And you said you're actually an introvert.
Yes.
But that does not count against you. In fact, there are many, many highly successful entrepreneurs who shy away from the public limelight, etc., except that when they're engaging, they are engaging, just like you are.
Yeah.
So you spoke about the youth start a little bit. So let's go back to last year, 2024, and you were a competitor from Falseway College.
Yes.
One of three, I think, who went to the finals in Johannesburg.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell us a bit about the Alan Gray competition.
Okay. Yeah, so that competition was quite big. So it was Alan Gray Makers inter-college competition, and it's a platform for TVET entrepreneurs. So TVETpreneurs. So it is a national competition that starts off with campus level.
Hmm.
So it's for all TVET colleges across South Africa, all TVET colleges across South Africa, public TVET colleges.
And which campus were you at? At Westlake?
The Fisher campus.
Fisher campus.
Yeah, the Center for Entrepreneurs.
They is are at based Westlake. At Westlake. Yes, yeah. That's right. So you started out at campus level at Falseway College.
Yes.
Then you went through to the regional.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah. So
And then?
So campus level was Falseway College has four or five different campuses.
Five.
So campus level was all five campuses, entrepreneurs together in one room pitching.
Okay.
And they chose two winners. So it was myself and Nicole Blykies.
Okay.
So the two of us won on our campus level. And then regional level is the whole of Western Cape together.
Okay, so six TVET colleges there.
Yes.
With possibly six representatives from every college.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so there, you won through there.
Yes, so at that level, they only chose one winner that went through to nationals, which was in Johannesburg.
In three or four categories, I think.
Yes,
correct. Okay, absolutely. So you were one of those from the Western Cape who went through to Johannesburg.
Yes.
And then in Johannesburg?
Yeah. So essentially then what happened was, when we got to nationals in Johannesburg, they told us that each and every one of you sitting here is the best in your province, which made the competition even, so we were all on our nerves. But it was a great, great experience, again, to be able to meet a lot of like-minded entrepreneurs. It was a really great program. So I was also part of the first cohort for Alan Gray, where they hosted then a boot camp for all the entrepreneurs that was a part of the competition. So it was over 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
There was lots of, again, pitch training, entrepreneur mindset, how to be a powerful entrepreneur, step out of your comfort zone. So there was various trainings we did over that 4 days.
Fantastic.
And it was like a real boot camp.
Yeah,
it was up at 6. Day starts at 7:30 and you would end at 7 p.m. in the evening.
And then you finish
every single day. And then you still have to go back to your room and practice your pitching.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really a full day.
And something you said there, I just want to comment on. You spoke about the entrepreneurial mindset.
Yes.
Just for listeners' sake, listeners, the entrepreneurial mindset is not a course that you attend and now I've got it. It's constantly applying and growing, much like you're doing, Rashad. Fantastic. So how important to you in both cases was the training and support that you got? How did that help you as a jockey? You know that analogy of the jockey? How important was it, and how did that help you as a jockey?
Yeah, so I think I would say it's probably the most important part of the entire competition. It really teaches you. So if I can just speak, just touch quickly on my background. So before I stepped into entrepreneurship full time, I've been in various senior management roles. And I did it for about 10 years. So it was quite easy to manage a business, manage people. You have unlimited money, resources, and funds to do certain things.
When you're in that role.
When you're in that role. And I think when I stepped into my entrepreneurial journey, I thought, oh, no, but this is not going to be that difficult. It's going to be easy. I've done it before. But it's being an entrepreneur and being a startup entrepreneur, it's really different. Mm. And that's where the training was so helpful for me.
Okay.
Because my previous training was more at the management level, and now it's like an entrepreneur in a startup business. So I would say training, I would probably rate the most important. And I wish that it's something that every entrepreneur and also youth entrepreneur can experience.
Fantastic. So what advice would you give to young entrepreneurs starting out? I think you qualified for both of those competitions simply because of your age.
Yes.
You're seen as a youth entrepreneur.
Yes.
35 or under. What advice would you give to young people who perhaps listening to you today?
Yeah.
What advice would you give?
Yeah. So I think I really want to say, and I'm going to give an example with it because it's so succinct, but I really want to say just start. Start with what you have. The same way I started Everything Stationery, I started with what I had at the time. Mm. And also, so I get quite a lot of inboxes on Facebook and on WhatsApp. I have this business idea. I want to start this business. I want to do this. I don't know how. I don't know where to start.
So a lot of what are wanting to, but not yet doing.
Yeah. And when the idea comes across, it's so big and it's so overwhelming, if I can say that for myself. So one of my recent conversations, I got an inbox and the lady said to me, she really wants to start a diner. She wants to start a diner, and she wants to have karaoke evenings and jazz evenings in the diner as well. And she was sort of asking, where can she get funding? Can she go for a bank loan? Is there any investors? How does she get access to it? And my question to her is, what can you do to start today? And she's like, are you crazy? Like, I can't open a diner today. I don't have the amount of money. And I started picking her brain and started giving her ideas. And I said, for example, so she does have a full-time job. Are you able to cook some meals and take it to work and sell it at work? Because that is going to be a start.
Testing out some of it.
Yeah. Exactly. Are you able to have a karaoke evening at your local community center for your community? Mm. Because that's all the skills that you're going to learn.
You're it's testing it. That,
yes. Yeah. So you're testing it before you're asking someone to invest $500,000 into your business. Yeah. So
lovely. You did that because it was only this year that you went full-time?
Yes.
So before that, you started small, but it started to scale, and I don't know how many years that was, 2, 3, 4 years, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But and every time it was growing, growing, but you didn't have to have a full-on factory or stationery shop in order to start.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's Ziggy Ziglar say? You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start if you want to be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've started your journey to greatness. That's absolutely wonderful. So it's quite important that people, I believe, Rashad, it's called the MVP, the minimum viable product.
Yes, yes.
And you started with a minimum, you know, one supplying one pack.
Yes, absolutely.
Then it went to 30 packs, and then it went to a couple of 100 packs.
Yes, yeah.
Fantastic. And this year, you're also starting to target and look at existing businesses, not just parents. So you're starting to expand as
into
well.
Into office stationery, yeah, as well.
One of the things that I noted about you, yes, you were incredibly consistent. Yes, you took the advice And weren't those adjudicators really lovely? You know, they were quite tough at times, but they sacrificed their Saturdays and they gave, etc. But you took those things on board.
Yeah.
And one of the things I noticed about you is that they would say things and you didn't, you absorbed it. You sometimes wrote it down. And then the next pitch, which was a week later, you would have applied a lot of what they said. Big tick next to that. So what are three things that you've learnt and applied in your business over the last 6 months?
Yeah.
Not necessarily in the competition, but over the last 6 months. Three things.
Yeah. So I think number one would definitely be, as you mentioned, it's being able to act fast and act now.
Agile. Be agile. Oh, my goodness.
I think that's one of the most important things. Act immediately. You're still going to think about an idea, and you're going to blink your eyes and someone else did it. So act fast, act immediately. So I loved the feedback I got from the adjudicators. Like I said, it allowed me to grow the business. So that was great.
What was one of the things that they said to you that you did by the next time you pitched?
Yeah, I think one of the things was around Takealot being a competitor. I think it started where they said that you can also collaborate with someone even if they are your competitor.
Don't be threatened by it.
Yes.
What about collaborators?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
And that immediately sparked an idea that I can sign up as a reseller with Takealot and also have my back to school and office stationery on there. And that I did immediately. The following day, I started the process.
Yeah.
So that was number one. Number two, I would say compliance. So on top of your compliance, so whether it's CIPC documents, taxes, it's always going to come in handy. You must be compliant, number one, but also especially if you want to enter certain competitions and obviously to be compliant. And then you asked for three.
Yes. So before you go to your third one, let's just pause there and say, again, wasn't the city of Cape Town amazing in their support? You know, they were often in the background. What a wonderful team.
Yes.
And this was their ninth year, although it's been running for 10 because of COVID they missed. But they were so consistent and helpful. But one of the things they did, talking about compliance, is they, you know, you say, I've got a business, everything stationary, etc.
Yes.
So they came to visit you.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And they checked up a little bit that, you know, when you say you're doing this, are you doing that? They checked up on your compliance.
Yes, absolutely.
So, again, you saw the value of being compliant.
Yes, absolutely.
You are agile. You spoke about compliance. What's a third one that you've done?
Third one. I hope I can fit two more in because they're really important.
No, two is fine.
Okay. So the other thing is, and I recently call it, I say that I'm in my asking era. So
asking phase.
Yes. Please ask. Don't be shy to ask. Don't be worried that the person's going to say no or that you're going to be rejected. Please ask.
Lovely.
All they can say is no. So
okay,
ask.
And remember, NO stands for next opportunity.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
So ask.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Ask. Last and final, I think I would want to say, which is around funding. And I know when we as startup entrepreneurs, when we do think of funding, we only think that we need to go for bank loan. We think that that there's NYDA and CEDA. So yes, there's opportunities, but I also want just to extend it to say that there's also pitching competitions and make use of the pitching competitions. And it's not just about funding in terms of cash funding.
Network.
It's about networking. And also there's a whole package of prizes that is also very useful. So if I can just also mention last week at the Youth in Action Expo that was held at the CTICC, I was in a pitching competition again, which was the Cape Times pitching competition. And so they put a call out and you also had to send in a video and they just did a very quick, fast top 10. And I was one of those top 10 businesses. And I won as a runner-up.
Sure.
And it was so amazing because it was winner-take-it-all. They only had a prize for the winner. And when they called up and announced me as the runner-up, They had also given me 50,000 media coverage in the Cape Times.
Wow.
They gave me a 45,000 Rand UWC leadership course voucher, as well as 50,000 Rand from Loop, which was mentoring and also having access to a masterclass. So while that competition didn't provide actual monetary
money,
value, it was still valuable.
Absolutely.
And if I add up everything that I've won in the pitching competitions, I would probably accumulate to 250,000. Yeah, I think what I want to say is look at pitching competitions as an option, number one. And number two, it's more than just money and the actual monetary value that you'll receive. Yeah.
Fantastic. One final nugget to our listeners before we go. What's something that maybe you can leave as a little glowing nugget with them?
Yeah, I think I would just say move with passion. Have passion for what you do. Again, I want to say, yes, starting a business, it's about making money. But enjoy the journey. Be passionate about what you are doing. And also, be passionate. Let it be impactful. That's...
I'm going to send out a nugget, as you know.
Yes.
And this one is, it's the first part is passion.
Yeah.
And then you take the I and you put it in front, and it's I pass on my passion.
Wow,
and you have been a wonderful example of passing on passion,
yeah,
even as an introvert entrepreneur,
yes,
as a startup. Thank you for showing your passion, and all the best for everything stationary.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Wow. I want to tell you something. That there's a message here. I hope some scholars are listening. Those who think they can't, they can, if they put their mind to it. What an awesome interview and inspiration to many.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, Rashad, I listened to you speaking there. You don't sound like an introvert to me, that's for sure. But
yes.
I guess when it comes to your business, your passion comes through. Socially, you may be a bit more introverted.
Yes,
but
yeah.
But well done. And and I don't want to make a big deal of it, but again, to come from where you have, in sometimes from an environment where there is little hope.
Yeah.
I certainly hope that you go back there from time to time so people can see.
Absolutely.
That it is possible,
yeah,
to escape that.
Yes.
And to become someone as special as you have become. And may you go from strength to strength. Really,
thank
may you,
you
go from strength to strength. Steve,
fantastic.
lovely interview, Steve. Thank you very,
yeah,
very much for bringing Rashad in this afternoon.
A great pleasure. It's my joy to meet up with lots and lots and lots.
Yeah, it's a privilege for you.
People.
It really is, yeah. Sharon, thank you for that message. Okay, so we'll see you, Rashad, go well.
Yes, thank you.
We'll
very
see
much.
You again. I don't know, 2 weeks time, because you're globetrotting and you're gallivanting and going on holiday and things like that. But the rest of us have got to work. 2 weeks time.
Yes, in 2 weeks time. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you very
much.
Thank
you, Rashad.